حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My brothers and sisters, one of the reasons Allah Azza wa Jal sent Islam to mankind is to solve and rectify societies. It's to take the problems that exist in society right now and to fix them so that humans can live in harmony. And this is why we see over and over again that in the Sharia, in the religion of Islam, we will see that so many things have come and they have protected our brothers and our sisters. And so we see that on one of the most important days of the history of Islam, The farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what message does he deliver to the Muslims? He says, "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum." He says, "Your blood, meaning your lives and your property and your honor, are haram upon you." Meaning, it is impermissible for you to transgress upon someone else, transgress upon the honor of someone else. And this is why we see that in Islam, the Sharia goes through great lengths to protect the honor and the reputation of other people. And at times people can think it's not such a big deal. Why is it that Islam gives so much emphasis or puts so much importance on protecting the honor or the reputation of a Muslim? In order for you to really understand why Islam does this, all you have to do is go ask someone whose honor and reputation has been ruined. And they will tell you that this is one of the worst experiences that anyone can go through in their life. And this is why we see that Islam holds us accountable for every single thing we say. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That not a single word is spoken, except that it is being written down and recorded, so that we may be held accountable for this. And this is why we see that the sins of the tongue in Islam are considered major sins. A lot of times we tend to put aside sins of the tongue and think it's not such a big deal. But if we were to look at Islam and look at what the Sharia tells us about sins of the tongue, we realize that they are major sins. Backbiting, for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla likens it to eating the dead flesh of another person. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوا. Would any of you like to eat the dead flesh of your brothers? Certainly you would hate it. Meaning, as you hate the act of eating the dead flesh of another human being, with that type of hatred, we should hate the act of backbiting. So what I wanted to do in this khutbah was to mention some traps, some things, some reasons why people tend to fall into the sins of the tongue. And one of the first reason, and I would say this is at the top of the list, is that many people don't understand what the sins of the tongue are. So you'll tell someone, listen brother or listen sister, you backbit someone. And they'll say, listen, I didn't say anything that wasn't true. I just told you what happened. Or I said, what the truth was. And we go back to the definition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked the companions, he said, "Atadruna mal ghiba?" He said, "Do you know what ghiba is? Do you know what backbiting is?" And they said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dhikruka akhak bima yakrah." He said, "To mention something about your brother which they dislike." And one of the companions, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, what if what we're saying is true?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That is backbiting. And if you say something about them which is untrue, then that is slander." So we see the definition of backbiting in Islam is very simple. It's very simple. If you say something about someone that they wouldn't like for you to say about them, you've fallen into backbiting. And it isn't a matter of whether it's true or not, or whether any other reasonings you have. The only test you have to judge your kalam, your speech, the words that you say, are, would this person like for me to say this about them or not? Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, when we speak about someone else in a negative way, we're going to fall into one of three categories. So most likely, we're going to fall into one of three categories. Either we say something about someone which is true, and the Imam said, this is ghiba, this is backbiting. He said, or we say something about them, meaning something negative, that is not true. He says, then we have fallen into slander. And he says, or we say something about them that we don't know if it's true or not. And he said, this is ifk, rumor mongering. Meaning we heard something and we just said it. We didn't confirm, we didn't check to see if it's true or not. We just heard a news, something negative about someone else, and we told someone else that news. And that's it. Meaning if we're talking about someone else, if we're saying something negative or mean or anything about someone else that is negative, we're most likely to fall into one of these three sins. The second reason why people tend to fall into sins of the tongue is the urge or the desire of human beings to seek revenge. And that's actually very, very ironic that a lot of times people, when they get backbitten themselves or they get slandered themselves, they'll in turn backbite or slander the other person. And the reason why that's ironic is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day sat with the companions and he asked them, he said, "Atadruna man al-muflis?" He said, "Do you know who is considered bankrupt?" And the companion said, "Well, the person who doesn't have any wealth and doesn't have any property." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the muflis, the bankrupt person, is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment with their fasting and their qiyam and their prayer and their charity and all these good deeds, thinking that mashallah, they're headed for heaven. And what happens to them? But they had backbitten this person. They had slandered another person. They had harmed someone else. And because of that, their good deeds are now taken and given to this person that they wronged. Because there's no currency on the Day of Judgment. There's no currency in the hereafter except our deeds. And when this person's good deeds are finished now, that person's bad deeds are put onto this person. So in essence, when we backbite someone or we speak ill of someone out of revenge, who are we really harming? We're harming ourselves. And this is why the same Imam that I talked about before, Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his time, a man came to him and he said to him that someone has been talking bad about you. Firstly, the Imam got very upset. He said, "Hasn't Shaytan found a messenger other than you?" Meaning this is the work of Shaytan to bring news like this to people and to tell you this person said this about you, or that person said this about you. So he got angry and he kicked him out of his house. Then the Imam goes to this person's house, the one who was backbiting the Imam, rahimahullah. And he knocks on the door, and this man opens the door and he's surprised to see the Imam because he had been talking bad about him, he had been slandering him and backbiting him. And the Imam has in his hands a plate of dates. And he gives it to the man. And he says, "Listen, I have heard that you have gifted me something. So I wanted to give you something back." What did this man gift Imam Hassan al-Basri? His good deeds. And the Imam says, "My only regret is that I cannot repay you with that which you have pained me." Meaning I'm not going to go down to your level. I'm not going to now start backbiting you or speaking evil about you so I can repay you. No. Because this is something that I understand. This is something that Imam understands, rahimahullah ta'ala. So like I said, when we backbite others out of revenge, we're only harming ourselves. Number three, peer pressure. Now I know a lot of times we hear the words peer pressure, and we tend to think of kids or people in middle school and high school, they fall under peer pressure. But I assure you, adults can very well fall into peer pressure also. How many times have we seen people sitting in a gathering and people start talking about someone else? And there may be someone sitting there who doesn't know this person, or they've only heard a couple things here and there. But to feel like they want to feel like part of the conversation, they'll say something about them also. Yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, I heard that also. Come to think of it, I think he did that to me also. So they will join in to the backbiting session. Why? Out of peer pressure. And this is one of the, subhanAllah, one of the most common things that happens. And we understand that a role of a Muslim in a situation like that, so if we're attending a gathering or if we're sitting in a gathering where someone is being talked about, a Muslim really has only three options. And when I say only three options, I mean only three options. There are only three permissible things for a Muslim to do in that gathering. Number one, and this is the highest, this is the best thing a person can do, and that is actually come out and defend that person that is being backbitten. Come out and defend that person. Number two, the second thing a person can do, meaning if they don't have the courage to actually defend that person, they can simply stop the people who are carrying out this sin. So they say, listen, brothers, or listen, sisters, what's happening here is backbiting. And we cannot do this. This is a sin. It is haram to do this. The third and last thing a Muslim can do, the absolute last thing, so if a person doesn't have the courage to speak out against the sin, is that they can get up and leave. They can get up and leave. That's the very least that is required from a Muslim. A believer will not sit there and listen to a sin happening. Because a believer understands, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. That most certainly our eyesight, in our hearing, in our hearts, will be questioned about all of those things. So it's not okay to sit in a gathering and let people backbite someone else. Let someone ruin the reputation and honor of someone else. That's not okay for a Muslim to do that. And the very least a person can do is to get up and to leave. Another reason why people fall into backbiting is jest and play. And this is amazing, subhanAllah, that a lot of times people feel that if someone is spoken about, something wrong is said about someone in a joking manner, it's somehow not backbiting or it's somehow not slander and it's somehow okay. That if we have somehow made people laugh, that it's okay, it's not a bad thing. So if we said someone something mean about someone else, we said something about someone else that they wouldn't like for us to say in a joking way and people laughed, that somehow that is not okay. And the scholars, subhanAllah, they talk about this issue. And they say when a person gets involved in backbiting through the method, through the way of laughing and joking and play, they're actually falling into two sins. Number one is the actual sin of backbiting. Number two is the sin of adha, and that is harming your brother and causing hurt and pain to them. Another reason is, and I call this the partner in crime of sins of the tongue. And that is suspicion and going out of one's way to look for the faults of others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum wadh-dhann, fa inna dhanna akdhabul hadith." He said, "Beware of suspicion because suspicion is the worst of false speech." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about the issue of following the mistakes of others or going out of our way to look for the faults of others. He said, "Innaka in ittaba'ta 'awrat al-muslimin afsadtahum." He said, if you were to go out looking for the faults of the Muslims, you will ruin them. And we see that hadith coming to life today. How many communities have been ruined because of suspicion? How many households have been ruined? How many families have been ruined? How many relationships have been ruined? How many people, how many spouses have had issues because of suspicion? And because of going out of our way to seek the faults of others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this, subhanAllah, is a very, very scary hadith. He said, "Man tatabba'a 'awrata akhihi al-muslim, tatabba'a Allahu 'awratahu. Wa man tatabba'a Allahu 'awratahu yafdahu, walau kana fi bayti, aw walau kana fi jawfi bayti, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam." The Prophet sallam said that the one who goes out of their way to seek the faults of others, then Allah will seek the faults of this person. That if we go out of the way to seek the faults of others, Allah will go out of his way, meaning Allah will seek out our faults. وَمَن تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ, and the one whose faults are sought out by Allah, يَفْضَحُ, He will be ruined and he will be humiliated, even if he is hiding in the deepest corner of his house. Because the reality is, my brothers and sisters, we all make mistakes. We all commit sins. And we all have things that we may not be happy about. And the last thing that we want is for the all-hearing and the all-seeing Allah Jalla wa Ala to expose our faults. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.